later. Now, the first free public transport initiative, it was introduced in a suburb of Los Angeles, believe it or not, back in 1962. And by the year 2000, there were 27 free public systems in the world. And today, there are 114. The majority, of course, in Europe. Luxembourg is next, and I'm now joined by Fianna Fáil candidate for the next local election on Dublin's North Inner City. She's Denise McMorrow, and she's going to be talking about calling on this initiative to be introduced in Ireland. Good morning, Denise, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Johnny. It's a real privilege, and I'm delighted that you've included me in your show this morning. Thank you, Johnny.
You're most welcome. Pleasure is all ours, Denise. First of all, the system is currently operating in specific cities around the world, not exactly by country. Are you suggesting we introduce the system in Dublin or nationwide?
Well, I definitely think we should introduce it in Dublin for a starting point and run it as a pilot project, but it's a win-win for everyone, Johnny. So it's very possible that we could roll it across the entire country in time. But I think we really need to introduce it as a matter of priority for Dublin, considering that Dublin, Johnny, is the most gridlocked, third most gridlocked city, not just in Europe, in the world. So I think that's frightening when we hear of a statistic like that.
Right. And should the free system be only for Irish citizens? Would tourists have to pay?
Not at all. I think we should open it up. We shouldn't have a system that, you know, prohibits anybody from availing of it. In actual fact, Johnny, I think it would really encourage more tourism in Ireland and in Dublin in particular. And my whole emphasis would be, Johnny, to get Dublin moving again. Because literally, I'm that soldier that sits in that traffic, and this is where the idea came from, because I cross the city on a daily basis, and I realised when I did some research on it, Johnny, that in actual fact, that individuals are spending up to 6 weeks per year sitting in traffic in Dublin. So I think that's a huge disadvantage to our city, so there's every reason why we should make it happen.
Right. And would you expect charges and taxes to be paid elsewhere to make up for the loss of revenue?
Well, the way it is at the moment is that we have an estimated figure done for it, and we estimate that the current, I suppose, revenue generation would be approximately 300 million per year. Now, we have a case that it is very plausible that when we looked at, I suppose, how that's made up, we already realised that there's a tax incentive, a tax saver scheme for individuals going to and from work already, and that can cost, I suppose, up to 50% of the travel. So already there's a cost generation spend there, a revenue generation that, you know, we could look at. On top of that, there's a carbon tax that is being introduced, and at the moment that's 20 million, but we are being told that could be increased by 15-fold to bring it up to 300 million per year. Now, that carbon tax is very excessive. And in terms of, you know, giving something back to individuals like yourself and myself and the ordinary individual, I think it's about time that carbon tax would be redistributed. And already Leo Varadkar has said that, you know, it could be a carbon check, but why not give it back to the individuals that are making, I suppose, the revenue happen in the first place and give them a better lifestyle. So there's the financial cost that I think if it's looked at and looked at under the microscope, we can make it very feasible and a very plausible argument for it. And then there's the whole social fabric of the city that can be improved as a result too. So I think it's a win-win for everyone, Johnny.
All right. And with our current transport, for example, like Dublin Bus, Go Ahead Ireland, Lewis Dart and so on, do you feel they could be funded if we have free travel?
Absolutely.
By
Absolutely.
What you've just
well,
said
at the moment,
a minute ago.
Sorry, yeah. Johnny?
Bob, probably by what you've already said, just before I asked you the question, in fact, you know, with the carbon tax and all that kind of
yes.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a cost-neutral benefit, and I think the social implications of it would be huge. And it's a very social-inclusive measure as well. If we think about it, lowly paid people, young students, and the ordinary Joe Soap getting to work, they still have the same cost getting to work as somebody who's highly paid. So this is actually a social-inclusive measure to ensure more equality across the city for everyone to get to and from work. And literally, I think, as well as that, the health implications of it, if you think about it, I really had to sit back and think about it. 6 weeks of our working lives are wasted sitting in traffic, and it's a huge amount of frustration to get from A to B, and there's time and cost implications of that. So I think it's a good measure, and I'd be delighted as the candidate for the North Inner City to, I suppose, fly the flag for this and to get other people on board, because I think we would get a great following. And already, as we said, Luxembourg are introducing it from the summer onwards. In Germany, there are five cities across Germany that are going to pilot this as an initiative. And Estonia as well, the capital of Estonia, have already had it for the last 6 years. So let's get in there at the beginning and make Dublin a great city to live and to work in and to enjoy.
Okay. And what about the metro construction and the cost involved in all of that? How would we be able to manage the funding for it if we have free travel? Or are you perhaps talking about a situation where we need to have full and proper infrastructure in place first before introducing the free public transport, particularly, you know, in relation to the metro itself? What's your view on that?
Well, I believe that this needs to be prioritised. Travel within the city needs to be prioritised because at the moment, as we said, we keep going back to that statistic of 6 weeks, working weeks per year lost sitting in a gridlocked city. This is going to take away from inward investment. It's going to put multinational companies off coming to invest in Ireland and Dublin in particular because of the slow turnaround. So I believe that if we now invest in this idea and we bring, I suppose, the policy providers together and the people who can make it happen, the decision makers, it will be a cost benefit to us, not a negative. And I believe also that obviously Metro North should be prioritised because what other city in the world do you arrive into Dublin Airport, you arrive into it and you get the most beautiful warm welcome from individuals and from everyone around. But at the end of the day, you know, we don't have joined up thinking when it comes from Dublin North to the city centre. And we have already, I suppose, addressed some of the issues in Dublin South in terms of the Lewis, etc. So really the priority now needs to be given to Metro North and we need to invest into that as the first thing to happen. And also then Dublin Bus, I think, do a great job already, but we need to probably put on more buses and we need to, you know, if you look at the bus lanes and you look at the traffic congestion, and as I said, I'm the soldier sitting in the traffic on a daily basis, and I think we could have more buses in the bus lanes and more regular service. So, and I have looked at the costs already, and I do think that it is time to hold together a public meeting so that the powers that be can actually come together and look at this under the microscope a little bit more and get a solution for it.
Absolutely. And in your opinion, what would be the main advantages of having free public transport, apart from what you've said already?
Yeah, well, the first thing is to cut congestion, Johnny. I think that's really important. The other thing is environmental benefit. Obviously, we'd be addressing our target in relation to carbon and all of that, because at the end of the day, we're going to incur fines of up to $600 million a year if we don't abide by our carbon targets. So that's a serious one. The other thing is social inclusivity. Johnny, I think it would be really great for, as I said, low-paid workers and young students or whoever it is that needs to use public transport. It actually would be very encouraging for every individual to do that, along with, you know, as I said to you, whether you're highly paid or you're in a low-paid position, it still costs you the same amount of money to get from A to B and to work. So I think it would be a matter of social inclusion as well and community engagement. And also it addresses the air pollution and it gets Dublin moving. And I'm, as you know, a candidate for the North Inner City, and I have noted that, you know, we have the likes of major corporations coming in, like, for example, Facebook, and we have the Central Bank located down there, you know, just in the IFSC. And it is brilliant and it's great to see that inward investment. But at the same time, we have locals that are actually struggling because of the increased flow of traffic into their neighbourhoods, and it's actually squeezing the locals out. So I'm a local politician and hopefully I'll be elected on the 24th of May. And hopefully people will be listening to me this morning and that they believe that I'm the person living in the area. I know what it's like. And I do really believe and I really encourage that we keep this on the agenda and that it doesn't slip to one side, because it is a win-win for everyone involved if we do introduce the free public transport in the city.
Yes, I'm all for it, in fact. And I suppose it also saves money because you don't need a second car in the family.
You don't have the problem with parking and you can avoid getting clamped in the city. Bearing in mind that the charges in the city are going up as well in the next couple of weeks in relation to parking. So it's actually quite prohibitive for people. And I see it myself. There are lots of people, one person in a car driving. So it's, and we're not quite there. We're not there in the city for carpooling. We're just not. We're not ready for that for whatever reason. But I do believe that if we increase our buses, you know, have more Lewis's, obviously, operation and the Dart service and the three of them joined together, that we can actually have a very good strategic policy within the city to get it moving again.
Yes, I also think, if you don't mind me, because, you know, I'm the interviewer, not the interviewee
yeah.
here, but I guess it frees up time, you know, those not driving, they're able to you know, read, study, be even entertained. And they say,
and it actually might get us talking to each other a little bit as well, you know. There is a lot, and I've been out on the doors the last number of, you know, weeks and over my years of 20 years involved in politics, I have noted that there's a huge amount of social isolation that people are actually feeling, because they're coming to and from work, they're getting into their cars, they're coming home exhausted and frustrated by the time they get home, they're going in, closing their door, and there's a sense of a bit of isolation. So actually sitting on a bus or a train or on the Dart or whatever it is, the Lewis, we do actually chat a little bit more to each other. So I think in terms of that in itself is a really good positive move. So apart from all the costs, as in the financial costs, there's the whole social fabric and the benefit to actual individuals and communities at large.
Yes, and I'd say it's safer because statistically, you know, lesser accidents is in public transport compared to those driving their cars.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, at least you can then predict, I suppose, the time that you get to a meeting or the time you turn up at work or the time you get to school or whatever it is, the time you need to bring your children to wherever it is you need to bring them to. At the moment, it's really difficult. And if you're going, like myself, a working mother, trying to make it to a creche in the evening, it's extremely stressful. Or trying to get to a meeting in the morning, it's extremely stressful. So having regular transport routes, you know, using technology a little bit more, which is brilliant. You know, we have all the apps on our phones, etc. But apart from that, I just think, you know, and I keep going back, it is a win-win and it is cost neutral and it's the right thing to do. And Dublin, we need to be at the fore. We need to celebrate a little bit more in terms of we have a fabulous city, we have great citizens in the city. So all of this together can make us an even better place to live and to work and to enjoy.
Yes. Do you see any disadvantages at all by introducing this?
I don't really see any disadvantages because I've seen the disadvantages of not having it introduced, and I think they're very colossal. And I work in third level education myself. I work out in the Institute of Art, Design and Technology in Dunleary, and I see from day to day basis the struggles that students are having, paying for buses, paying for it is to get on the Dart. It's still quite expensive for them, even though it is incentivized for students. It's still quite expensive. And, you know, we think about asylum seekers, etc., and they're very limited in their budget. And I've worked for years with socially disadvantaged people who find it really difficult to actually pay to get to work, pay to get to college. You know, I've listened to people like, for example, Access students who really, you know, they're trying to keep their money back to have a cup of tea. So to have a cup of tea and to actually pay on the bus and pay on the Lewis, all of these costs add up. So we can't just take it for granted that everyone has a huge disposable income. So the reality is they don't have it, and they're really pushed in terms of meeting spiraling rental prices, spiraling mortgages, you know, fees for X, Y, and Z. So, and the cost of living is very high in Dublin in particular. So I think that this is all going to be a good thing if it happens, and I hope that, I suppose, the powers that be, the transport authorities and Dublin Bus and I suppose the different stakeholders really engage in this process.
Yes, well, the only disadvantage I can think of is if you have to do a big shopping. That would be the only one I can think of.
Well, but then I have that as well.
That's a case when you just have to take the car, I suppose. Mm. You know,
well,
one-off.
I do think, like, for example, I've been canvassing in the north inner city, as I said, and for example, if you look at Clonliffe Road, for example, there is no bus up and down Clonliffe Road, and this is an issue for individuals. There's an elderly population there. There are young families there. So I think we need to probably look at, do a root and branch approach at our transport network within the city and see where are the buses going and how are they servicing the citizens of the city, because the citizens of the city need to be heart and soul of what we do in relation to our local government and our national, regional government, and obviously at a European level as well.
Well, actually, as you mentioned already, the free system has been a huge success in Estonia, in Tallinn, and also, in fact, in Dunkirk in France. So it kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? How about free public transport financed explicitly by a tourist tax, right, on Airbnbs and hotels for city centre, let's say between the canals north and south, as a starting point? What would your opinion be on that?
I think it would be very difficult to monitor, and I'm not shooting it down because I really think this needs a lot of investigation and different proposals. I think that, you know, already, I suppose, you know, we're doing well with tourists, but, you know, we don't want to put tourists off coming to our city. So already it is expensive for a tourist to stay in the city. Airbnb or a hotel, it is expensive. So we don't want to disadvantage our tourism opportunity by heavily, I suppose, imposing that tax on those individuals. I think it's a fairer system to look at the proposal that I suppose outlined in terms of cost savings, in terms of the revenue, estimated revenue generation, and already what it's actually costing us, thinking that 20% of our individuals, it's estimated, would be on free travel already. And then there's the tax rebate, I suppose, for people that are travelling to work. And also, if you think about it, Johnny, like when you get on the bus, you know, for people that don't have a leave card, you have to put the change into the machine. And sometimes, like a lot of people put extra change in, and they mightn't ever get to go and collect that money back from Dublin Bus. But when you think about it, all that money has to be counted. That's another person's job. It's a bit of a nightmare in this day and age having to go through all of that. So there is a cost in all of that as well. So the administration of the charges is probably costing as well that we haven't even thought about. So I do think that there are other, there are ways, and maybe it is looking a little bit at a tax charge on tourists, but it wouldn't be my first port of call. I probably would look at maybe the revenue income, revenue output, as in costs, and looking at it from a more cost-neutral basis, because we do need to keep Dublin attractive as a city to come to. It's a great city, isn't it?
Absolutely. And what kind of reaction to this would you be expecting from our government?
Well, so far I've gotten a really good reaction. Like anyone that I've been talking to about it on the doors, they've all said this is a great idea, because they are actually struggling. People are struggling, as I said to you a few minutes ago. You know, you have the spiral in rents. You have huge pressure on people in relation to mortgages. You have extra costs in relation to schools. We say that education is free, but in actual fact, there are costs attached. You know, there's a lot of fundraising. There are a lot of commitments that parents have to make. You have, I suppose, as well as that, you have creche fees that there are no tax rebates on. So people are really, really pushed when it comes to actual disposable income. So anywhere where you can actually give something back to the hard-working people of the city, I think that is something that we should really be embarking upon. And all politics are local. People might argue and say, well, this is really, you know, a more national thing. But it actually is affecting the citizens of the inner city. And they're my first priority at this point in time, because that's the area I'm canvassing in, and that I hope I will be elected in on the 24th of May. But it actually is wider. It's wider than the inner city. It's across the city. But I do believe that, I suppose, if I didn't listen to the, to the electorate and to the people on the doors, I wouldn't have come up with this idea. And I am that person. I'm that person living, I suppose, in the area, and that person sitting in that traffic. So I know what that's like.
Yes, and Denise, speaking of which, on a different note, how do you feel about being selected as Fianna Fáil candidate for Dublin's North Inner City?
I feel very privileged, Johnny, to be honest. I feel very privileged. I suppose I have started out my working career in Finglas West. I managed an unemployment centre in Finglas West. And back then I realised that having a political say was so important, and ensuring that communities felt listened to. And that's the one thing that I suppose I feel I can bring to politics, is that I'm a good listener and that I have empathy. And if we don't have empathy and we're not good listeners, I don't think we've been making great politicians. And I know we have lots of issues in relation to, I suppose, our government at the moment. I'm not going to deny that. But all I can say is that I have worked for over 20 years now across different areas. I started out, as I said, in Finglas West, who was the highest unemployment black spot at the time. And I moved on to DCU, and I looked after the work placement programme for many students there, as well as working on graduate employment. And by giving people, I suppose, positivity and a positive message, I think it can transform lives. So I have worked with people from all walks of life. I've worked with people from very underprivileged backgrounds. And by actually giving them the confidence to believe in themselves, it is amazing how people can transform. They can walk taller. They can speak a little bit more loudly, and they really feel more empowered. And I believe that my experience, I suppose, I'm continuing to work in education. At the moment, I'm working, as I said, out in the Institute of Art, Design and Technology in Dunleary, and I'm looking after Dublin Learning City, which is a brilliant initiative. And watch this space, because we're having a learning festival along with Dublin City Council from the 8th to the 12th of April across the city. So we're encouraging learning for free, And that's my message, that learning should be made available for free and that it should be fun and it should be enjoyable. And I realise too that people learn in all different ways, and learning doesn't just happen within the walls of an institution. It happens really in the community where people are engaging with each other, whether it be an older person being shown how to use their mobile phone by a young kid on the street. That's learning in itself. So I feel I have a lot to bring, I suppose, Johnny, and I look forward to working with people on the ground. And it really is working with people on the ground and listening to what their issues are and together trying to solve them.
Okay, Denise, well, fair play to you, seriously, I have to say. There's a lot to talk about in relation to all of that, and hopefully we can have you on again to discuss it separately.
I'd love to be on again, Johnny.
Yeah, you'd be most welcome.
Thanks for being such a great interviewer.
But Denise, thanks again for taking the time to be with us today, and all the very best to you. Take care, have a great day, and I'm looking forward to talking with you again.
Thanks very much, Johnny. And we all have a positive message, education and opportunity for Dublin's North Inner City. Thanks very much, Johnny.
You're most welcome. All the best. Now, that was Denise McMorrow, Fianna Fáil candidate for the next local election for Dublin North Inner City. She was talking about the possibility of bringing in free public transport initiative.